This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live, and you can join us. You can talk about whatever's important to you, or you can talk about what we're discussing here, which is Black Jesus. And I mean, real, I don't know what ethnicity Jesus was, right? And I don't think it really matters. I'm not even convinced that Jesus was a person who actually existed. I don't know. However, some people think he's white, some people think he's black, some people think he's Middle Eastern. I mean, he was Jewish at the very least, and when I think of a Jewish person, I don't think of a white person, typically. Or as someone who's ethnically Jewish, I don't think of a white person. 603-283-6160, though, you can let us know what you think about when
especially
you think of Jesus.
Back then, that's like before the diaspora, right? There just wouldn't have been white Jews.
Yeah, I tend to think not. My impression of Paul, for one reason or another, though, is very much of a white person.
Well, wasn't he from Greece?
Wasn't he? Maybe that's why.
Though.
I don't know. Off the top
of my head.
I know
he was, like, working for the government.
I don't have much respect for Paul. I feel like he was a heretic who wanted power over others, and he saw that opportunity in Christianity, and he took it, and he turned Christianity into a justification of getting power over others.
Mark wants me to read a book about just that, about how Paul was just a grifter, but I haven't started it yet, and I'm really interested.
603-283-6160, but this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, which is digital cash. It's a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. And it's been more than 2 years now since I used any cryptocurrency. But the last time I used Dash, you could send it for a fee of 0.001 Dash, which is pennies or fractions of a penny, versus the last I heard about Bitcoin, fees were running $5 per transaction, and it's just complete nonsense, completely unusable. Dash doesn't have that problem. And last year, Dash launched a killer app that allows you to spend Dash at more than 155,000 locations across the U.S. You won't find something like that for Bitcoin or even Bitcoin Cash, which is arguably another of my favorite cryptocurrencies. 155,000 locations across the United States where you can spend Dash, which gives you finally a reason to spend your crypto. And it's not just being able to spend Dash. You actually get a discount for using Dash. 2%, 3%, all the way up to 8 or 9%. The stores on Dash Direct each offer their own discount level, but somewhere as high as 8 or 9% off. And Dash is the only cryptocurrency with incentives to spend rather than hold, thanks to Dash Direct. And the decentralized autonomous organization, the Dash DAO, they've always done stuff like this to encourage people to actually spend and use Dash. A number of years ago, they had the Dash Back program, which would like give you like 5% back of your Dash that was spent or
wow.
Something along those lines. It was really cool.
Well, they still have something like that with the Dash Direct app.
Do they?
You can get Dash back for using it at different stores, but each store is like different. Like it could be 1% here and 5% in a different store.
Okay. Very cool. I haven't used it. And I want to say thank you, though, to the Dash DAO for sending us $32. I want to say thank you to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That's Dash.org. And thank you to the people at Dash for that. So moving back into the phones, we do have Major Payne on the line from Michigan. Major, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah. You gals do know what year it is, right?
No.
2023.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Right?
Thanks. I forgot my calendar at home.
Well, no, the whole reason I just brought that up is because that was the year Jesus died. There is no other person in history that you can think of where there was a restart on history. Right?
I'm confused. What are you talking about?
Are you saying because people started doing AD and BC before Christ, or A, BC and AD, or whatever it is?
Well, it depends. I mean, even a lot of religious people I know don't use BC and AD. I mean, that's sort of deprecated terminology. I don't know any scientists who use BC and AD. There's BCE.
It's like ACE, yeah.
There's BCE and CE, which is also what I use.
Well,
which
the
is the common era.
We work off of starts on AD.
No, the calendar we used to work off. No, the calendar we used to work off of erroneously started with AD.
But doesn't it still start the same year, the year that Jesus was born?
Well,
they just call it something else.
Allegedly,
Chris has alleged that it was the year that Jesus was born, right? Hmm. But we don't actually know. They just counted backward based off, you know, biblical text. I was like, all right, that's what we're calling year one.
Yeah, so there's some debatable factor about what exact year it was, or whether it was September or December or whatnot.
Or whether he existed.
I didn't even call in about that. If they restarted history, he was obviously infamous.
Well, I'm pretty sure that the man named Jesus existed. And the reason why is because my favorite biblical scholar believes that, and he is literally a biblical scholar. Like, he's been the first to lay his eyes on certain scrolls that have been found, things like that. He's not just like, you know, somebody pontificating. He believes that Jesus, the man named Jesus, existed. The thing that's up for debate is, was he like the Son of God? Did he perform these miracles?
Things? I think he probably existed as well, but it's certainly not, you know, proven by any means. I tend to think you're absolutely right. And I haven't heard a scholar say that, but I can imagine so, because there is overwhelming evidence. I mean, Jesus as a figure was very impactful in society. It stands to reason that there probably was at some point a person upon whom all of these stories were based. But it wasn't when Jesus was born, people didn't go, oh my God, it's 1 CE, it's 1 AD now. No, it was like the 3rd or 4th century of CE when they started. It wasn't even then, was it?
I have no clue.
It would have been during Pope Gregory. That would have been like the 15th century or so, where he backdated it to be 1 AD.
I have literally no clue. I've never looked into that.
I didn't know it was that late.
Well, it would have to have been, I'm speculating, not 100% sure, but it would have been when the Gregorian calendar came into existence, which is when we had these months before that. Before that, we had the Julian calendar, and the Gregorian calendar was largely based on that, but that only deals with like months and years. I don't know exactly when we began counting years in BCE and CE, or excuse me, BC and AD for the Christians out there, but it certainly was not early on in last millennium.
I think we should restart starting in 2009 as year one, and everything after that is ABC after Bitcoin. I didn't make that up, but I love it.
Anything else on your mind tonight, Major?
Well, yeah, you guys were discussing whether or not Jesus is black. Well, there is, I mean, and as of course, none of us were there when the Bible was written, and none of us have seen the visions or had the experiences that are on the paper. But it is purported that during the 3 days between Jesus' crucifixion and his ascension to heaven, that he visited all the peoples in the world. And that is why everybody has a Jesus that looks like them. There's people on the shore of Africa that are purported to be of Jewish heritage. And they are, you know, way dark.
So I looked into this real quick, and I found an answer. We do, in fact, use the Gregorian calendar, but we're not that's not the only calendar, right? Like, the Mayan calendar isn't fractured into BC and AD, and that was something I didn't think of. It's just because we don't that we don't use the Maya calendar, but we could very much, if we wanted to, date everything in BC, in Maya instead of BC and AD. However, that aside, we first began using this thing by a monk in the 6th century, the year 525, came up with the system of BC and AD. And then he backdated everything so that year one was when he speculated that Jesus would have lived based on, you know, whatever historical records he had at the time. He just sort of backtracking. Okay, well, this person was 32 when they had this person and blah, 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 all the way back to, in theory, year one. But that only came into existence in year 525, which is earlier than I would have expected, to be fair.
Well, if this man hadn't been so famous, would somebody 600 years later even bother to find out when they thunk he was born just by ancient writings?
I think we all agree he was famous. What
Bonnie was talking about earlier with her genius she's talking about was probably the Dead Sea Scrolls he was reading.
I mean, Genghis Khan was also famous. I mean, there have been plenty of famous historical figures. The fact that this Gregorian monk just, you know, in the year 525 calculated things back to 8 BC and AD, and this persisted on into the modern times until we more recently switched to BCE and CE, that simply speaks to the pervasiveness of Christianity. Doesn't suggest at all that there was any truth to it whatsoever. It just suggests that Christianity was very powerful and influential.
Well, what it says to me is that there was a true story, and people believed it, and it spread like wildfire.
Well,
I mean, just because people believe it doesn't mean it's true.
No. Don't you guys talk over me all the damn time.
It's like the first thing I've said your entire phone call.
Okay, good night.
Yep. Oh, I'm glad I got that out.
Why did he get so mad?
He does that every Wednesday.
He gets really upset. It's because I one time said, he was like, well, I'm right. Christianity is true. And I was like, well, I don't really care if 100, like everyone on earth believes in a thing. If I find out that it's not true and I align myself with truth, I would be happy to be right, whether everyone else on... He made some point that, like, oh, lots of people are Christians. It's the most popular... It was like, okay, that doesn't have anything to do with whether or not it's true.
Yeah, and that's the point I was trying to make. And, I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong with being a Christian. There's nothing wrong with believing in and worshiping Jesus.
No,
I just don't.
I don't,
you know,
think
and don't tell me I'm going to hell because I don't believe in your weird cult.
Right, and appeals to argumentum ad populum, which is that, well, a lot of people believe it, therefore it must be true, which is effectively what you're arguing when you're saying, well, Christianity had a huge impact on the world, therefore it must be right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, like, so did slavery.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, so did a ton of awful things, and I'm sure there was a lot of falsehoods of, I mean, the Greeks thought that... You know, Helios drove a chariot across the sky, and that was the sun. I mean, like, there's historically been tons of things that were widely believed just to, you know, in an attempt to explain the world around us. Doesn't make it true.
It certainly doesn't. And, you know, I'm happy that we now know, you know, when BC and AD first came into usage, and that was in the 525 AD. Of course, I mean, we did switch... Society as a whole switched from BC and AD to BCE and CE, and I like that a lot better. But it's still year one is the same in AD and CE, so it's like a one-to-one correspondence, right?
But the thing about what Major Payne was saying, that lots of people were Christians at the time, so it must be true, that's so crazy, is that all those people at that time believed wildly different things. There were more sects of Christianity back then than there are now that believed completely different things. Like, some believed that Jesus, when he died, his whole entire body, not his soul, just like went into the ether or whatever.
Yeah.
Disappeared with him. And then they would fight with the ones who didn't believe that and believe that his body stayed here. They all had so many different ideas of what Christianity was. It's like they had complete, some of them would, like the clerics or whatever that would write, you know, whoever would write down the thing, the Bible books.
The scribes.
Yeah, right. The scribes. They would purposely be like, okay, I don't like this because this doesn't align with what me and my people believe. So I'm going to write it like this and just add a word or two to make it fit whatever their sect believed. And then someone else would get that copy and be like, I don't like this. It doesn't jive with what I believe about, like, the nature of the Spirit of God or whatever. So I'm going to change this word. Like, it's not like they all believe the same exact thing.
Right. I mean, you take any two Christians today and they probably won't believe the exact same things either. But I find it amusing that he mentions the Dead Sea Scrolls because those are fascinating from a Christian perspective because, like, they say things that are... not in the Bible, like
that
there's the whole Gnostic Gospels.
Yep, they'd be completely, like, my mom believes that Gnosticism is, like, the worst thing. Like, that's something Satan put out just to confuse people. So, like,
I mean, it resonates more with me. Gnosticism, yeah. What I know about Gnosticism, it resonates more with me than mainstream Christianity. But I'm a Satanist, so... I've recently bought the what they call the lost books of the Bible, and that's the Dead Sea Scrolls, right, and the Gnostic Gospels and all of that, like the Book of Thomas, the Book of Mary, these sorts of things. And my father had a copy of them. This is when I first became aware of them a long time ago. My father had a copy of them. And I was, you know, just some dumb kid.
That's what it is.
That's what it's called. So I never actually read them, but it always stuck in my mind that there was this Gospel of Mary somewhere. And it wasn't until like a few years ago, way more than a few years ago, probably 15 years ago at this point, that I became aware of the what they called the lost books of the Bible. But I've never actually read them. And out of all of them, the Book of Enoch is the one that I think is going to be the most fascinating. Because aren't there like 365 books of Enoch or something?
I don't know, but me and my dad read the Book of Enoch together one time and we were like, this is so interesting. And yet my mom would be absolutely horrified if she read, I don't know if she has, but if she read the Gospel of Thomas. It's like,
that's
lots
the first
of
one
stuff
of
really
the
bad.
If you're, lost books, right?
If you're like a Southern Christian right now, and you read the Gospel of Thomas, you're going to be like, this is bad, this is not right.
See, I don't want to read the
Jesus
lost books of the
someone.
Bible. I find it fascinating, the, you know, the Gospel of Mary, the Gospel of Thomas, all of those. I find it fascinating, but I don't want to waste the time reading them.
Yeah, honestly.
I want to read a book by a scholar who has read them and analyzed them and tells me what's in them, tells me the interesting stuff in them. That's what I want. I don't want to go out there and find it myself. I want the people who have made their life's work to analyze and study these things. And I know these books exist, right?
They need to read, I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it's Bart Ehrman's book about Judas. Oh my God, that one was so freaking interesting, cool. It's Judas.
Can you send it to me on Matrix?
Sure.
Because that's exactly what I was getting at. Like, if anyone out there knows, I mean, you know what I'm looking for now.
I don't know if it's called The Gospel of Judas, but that's what I was talking about. Like, he was one of the first people in National Geographic allowed.
Judas, like, 25 pieces of silver Judas?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bad Judas. Yep, it's supposed to be, like, his story. It makes him seem more like a good guy, and it's really cool. It's basically, like, Jesus pulled him aside and was like, you're going to betray me, but you're the only one that understands that I need to do this, so you have to.
I mean, it had to happen, right? If the Christian belief is true, and look, if you read the Old Testament, nothing that Jesus was prophesied to have done did he actually do. Like, he was supposed to be the king, not come here and get nailed to a piece of wood. So he kind of, like, didn't do what he was supposed to do. But if you're a modern Christian, you believe that he fulfilled the prophecy or whatever, then he did, in fact, need Judas to betray him. Otherwise, none of it would have ever happened. But that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for some scholarly analysis of these things so that I can read it and I can skip over the boring parts and Isaac begat Ishbab and Ishbab begat, you know, I want to skip all of that. I don't want to read it. I have better things to do in my time than to read the lost books of the Bible, which is a religion I don't even believe in. So why do I care about the lost books? But I do care about the impact. And I want, like, a Cliff Notes version by a scholar who has made it their life's mission to read these. That's why
and
I like Dan McKellen,
like,
so much.
He reads Coptic. He reads and knows Hebrew and Greek and all this stuff. And
your dad does?
No. Oh. Did I say my... Or did it sound like that? No, I'm talking about the guy, Bart Ehrman, that wrote the book I was telling about. And he won't just type out the book to you. He'll tell you certain parts and then he'll explain to you, this is what that meant at the time. This is what this word means. So if you were just reading it yourself, you'd be like, what? But when he explains it
right
to you...
That's exactly what I want, because I don't have the context that makes some of these things so important. Like the story of Mary Magdalene and Jesus washing her feet. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, all right, well, that's kind of weird, right? But when you have the context of, like, how important it was to have clean feet when going into a place of worship and all that, when you have that context, it makes the story so much more meaningful. If I read the lost books of the Bible, I won't have that context.
Well, and I always think about that when people quote Bible verses, and then they're like, and this is what this means, and it's just something completely different, because it seems like people will just draw whatever they want to believe. Like, even, you know, all the stuff about, you know, homosexuality is a sin and all stuff like that. People are just bringing their own meaning to it. They're not necessarily, like, word for word. That's not what it says.
Well, I wish, on the subject of homosexuality, I wish that Christians would, like, just pick a lane and stay in it. right? They either discard the Old Testament and say it's irrelevant and go on with what Jesus said, or they stick to the Old Testament, in which case they can't eat pork, they can't, they have to hang witches. Or
well, most people are hypocrites, right? You know, right. So they're going
to
pick and choose.
But they love pointing to the Bible as reasons that we have to be against homosexuality and transsexualism, even though, as I learned from Dan McQuillan, the Torah, was it the Torah or the Talmud or whatever, one of these Jewish books, and that's why I like him, because he does read ancient Assyrian and all of these other languages that I wouldn't be able to read. But he makes TikToks, and they're really informative. As he pointed out, there's 6 different genders mentioned in the Talmud, right? Yeah, there's...
I did not know that.
I don't remember all of them now, but there's way more than just man and woman mentioned in this ancient holy book. And that's not something that Christians talk about today.
Oh, of course not.
Of course, the Talmud isn't a religious book to Christians. But the fact that that even exists, like, how come I've never heard about this?
I know, that's actually really fascinating.
Why is it that the Talmud's not religious to Christians when they, you know, carry around the Torah in their Bible all the time?
Also a really good point. And I could be wrong about it being in the Talmud. I don't know, right? Like, I watched a TikTok about it. That's basically what I have to go with at this point, is my memory of what he said in this TikTok. But he makes fantastic TikToks, and he's extremely knowledgeable, and I trust his judgment. He does a podcast, though, and, like, I don't want to listen to a podcast. I do, and I listen to his podcast. It's called Data Over Dogma, which is one of the things I really like about Mormons. I wouldn't, like, a Christian, when they say data over dogma, I know they mean, like, Christian science, and they mean the earth is really 6,000 years old, and that's what the data says. But when a Mormon, like Dan McKellen, says that, I'm like, all right. So they're going to actually stay true to the principles of science here, and that means a lot to me. So I trust his analysis of things, but he doesn't write books. And it's fine to listen to a podcast, but I learn more and I absorb information better when I read it. So if you have a book out there, you can recommend it, 603-283-6160, or just hold on, and you can wait until I go to prison, and you can get it sent to me from Amazon, which I've had a lot of people ask me the last few days, because, you know, it's been 3 weeks since I was sent this.
Wow, really?
Yeah, so I've... Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
So I've had a lot of people ask me, you know, what prison are you going to? Are you going to a men's prison or a women's prison? And I literally don't know anything today that I did not know at the sentencing. Like, they're probably not going to tell me anything until, like, a day or two before.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, they're the government. They're not in a hurry. What do they care? Right? They don't, yeah. I'm shocked.
I'm actually shocked, though.
I think I will learn at Porkfest where I will be going, and I'm almost certain it's going to be a men's prison, not a women's prison, because that's what they do, right? They work in the Bureau of Prisons. It's their job to maximize suffering. And the way they can maximize my suffering would be by putting me into a men's prison. So that's fully what I expect, because that's what they do. They get off on it, right?
Doesn't that mean you'll just be, well, maybe you don't know, but...
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA News Update. President Biden is expressing confidence that a deal to raise the debt ceiling can be reached before the U.S. defaults.
It would be catastrophic for the American economy and the American people if we didn't pay our bills.
The president is cutting short his overseas trip to the G7 summit, which he left for this morning to deal with the debt issue. Montana has become the first state to completely ban the social media app TikTok. Republican Governor Greg Gianforte signed a measure that's more sweeping than any other states. It prohibits app stores from
even offering TikTok. The law is expected to be challenged and will serve as a testing ground for the TikTok-free America that many national lawmakers have envisioned. And former House Speaker Paul Ryan is being honored with an official portrait at the U.S. Capitol. Prior to the unveiling, Speaker Kevin McCarthy said there's no greater warrior for prosperity, freedom, and a strong economy than Paul Ryan. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunnybay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunnybay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunnybay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Live, and you can join us 603-283-6160 if you want to do that. That's 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki,
and it's Bonnie.
And coming up in October, if you would like to hang out with Mark Edge and learn about projects that are happening around the world to help achieve liberty in our lifetimes, you might want to check out Liberty in Our Lifetime. It's October the 14th and the 15th at Prague, that's in Europe, obviously. Representatives from projects in the United States, Honduras, Germany, and Norway will join to share updates on progress and explain why you should consider moving or doing business in a free city. Mark spoke at last year's conference, and he called the gathering of people most likely to create more human freedom. So visit libertyinourlifetime.org to find out more. You can use code FTL for a 10% discount on tickets. That's libertyinourlifetime.org, October the 14th through the 15th. That is at Prague. Lifetime, libertyinourlifetime.org. So we are talking here about Black Jesus. I've got a related story about an ancient...
That's the Lady Gaga song.
What, Black Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Black Jesus, Jesus is the new black.
Oh. Never heard that. All right. But we're not talking about the song. We're talking about the possibility of Jesus being black. And I've got a related story...
If this story opens up that possibility, it's like the
It doesn't.
Newest painting of Jesus as black. They could have just not had a beige color.
I mean, it is interesting, though, because when you think in America in this time, people were very racist, even up north where maybe slavery wasn't as common because we didn't have whatever, we didn't have plantations and stuff like that. And people were still racist.
Yeah,
so even
absolutely.
Just the fact that this was in a church.
Well, I've got to relate a story about an ancient tablet found on Mount Ebal It predates known Hebrew inscriptions. If it turns out to be real, and I don't know yet whether or not it's actually real, but it contains the text, "You are cursed by God." And I want to get into that. But first, we do take calls, 603-283-6160, if you want to join us. Again, 603-283-6160. We have Creighton on the line from Kentucky. Creighton, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi. I'm truly amazed at how the topics you range on. But I called in because I am partially Gnostic.
Okay.
And specifically, I am an old earth evolutionary creationist.
Old earth evolutionary creationist.
What does that mean?
Old earth means that the earth is significantly older than 6,000 years old.
Right, 4.6 billion
creationist means that is the concept that God created the rules of evolution and therefore created nature by evolution. So they're not contradictory.
See, like, that would make sense to me. Makes sense more than just, you know, completely disregarding evolution.
That completely resonates with me, too. It's just, like, it makes more sense than just thinking God just, bam, here's donkeys, bam, here's humans. There would be some kind of evidence for that. And there's not.
Well, there's evidence of the opposite, right? We have transitional fossils and stuff like that. Like, every fossil is a transitional fossil.
And part of the evidence that I have for that is actually in Genesis itself, the creation story, the order is correct, evolutionary or otherwise.
What do you mean the order is correct?
The order of the days of God, you know, the order that things are created in the story. And
birds, fish, and then mammals are last.
And humans are last of all.
Yeah.
The idea that a day for God can be an entire epoch is actually not a new idea.
Yeah.
Very old.
I could see that. It could be an allegory that's really just about evolution. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, the neocortex is what makes humans human, and it's the newest addition to our brains.
Why does it matter how God would measure time, though? I mean, obviously, being that is eternal, I mean, if a being is eternal, then he doesn't have any perception of time, right? But let's get eternity out of the equation. Let's get omnipotence and all that, because we can't discuss those, because they're ultimately meaningless.
I think he's just saying that it makes it an issue if people say or really believe, like, God created the fish of the waters, and then the next day, as we think of a day, he created the birds of the air. The next day, you know, that creates issue because that did not happen. But it could be an allegory. It could just mean, like, at first, he created blah, 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 then blah, blah, blah. And I don't know that this is true, but maybe he's right that, like, fish come first in the Bible, and they actually evolutionarily existed before the other ones, and the other ones, blah, blah, blah.
Well, it's a creation myth. To me, that's it. The Greeks had a creation myth. The Hindu have one. The Christians have one.
Well, imagine in our modern knowledge and modern understanding, if we went back in time and we found a goat herder in North Africa and then used his language to try to explain evolution to him. How would you do that?
I couldn't speak his language.
I wouldn't waste my time doing that. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there's a way that we could convey the concept of evolution.
I see what he's saying. Is he trying to say that, like,
there's simple stuff that God could have said to people that the creator of the universe should have said to people and that didn't, like, hey, wash your hands. Maybe the goat herder could have understood that. But God didn't say that.
Yeah, but humans wrote it. So maybe he's trying to say, like, the smarter humans wrote this in a way that the average goat herder could understand. And I'm not saying that I agree with this, but I just think that that's what he's saying.
But the reason I called it is you mentioned the Apocrypha. And one of the historical quirks about the canon, the official Bible within Christianity, is that during The Apocrypha was originally part of the canon, and it was removed for a historical quirk that was more economic than anything. When King James commissioned the translation and production of Bibles that bear his name today, he was actually commissioning missionary Bibles. And because the Bibles had to be hand-copied by professional monks, they were very expensive. So the King James Version Bible that we got at the time and that we still have is actually redacted because it was too expensive and considered generally unnecessary.
Well, there were a bunch of reasons that it was redacted.
Yeah, wasn't there like the Council of Nicaea?
Yeah, and the Council of Trent that determined whether or not Jesus was to be considered divine. I mean,
yeah, there was like specific reasons of what those groups believed that they wanted to knock out certain books, so they did.
Yeah, rumor has it that you know, the Catholic Church has massive amounts of texts.
Those events do predate the one you were just talking about, but all three could be true.
I'm just not sure why it matters that, you know, some of these things, we know. I mean, we know that some things were intentionally cut out of the Bible because they didn't fit the narrative or they weren't convenient or because the monk didn't like what was said. Bonnie mentioned this earlier on in the show. They're like, huh, I don't particularly think Jesus would have said that, so the monk makes a slight little change. We know these things happened.
But the Apocrypha, I have personally read the Apocrypha. And one of the sets of books that I find the most entertaining are not very long at all. It's called Bell and the Dragon. It is an extension of the book of Daniel.
Bell? And like, how do you spell that?
B-E-L.
Hmm. Okay.
Bell and the Dragon. They are actually two additional chapters of Daniel.
Hmm.
And the main character is, of course, Daniel. And in these books, Daniel is functioning as a detective. For lack of a better term, his job for the king was to investigate these.
I mean, I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm sure there's all sorts of interesting things that were cut out of these books. And someone has decided that those things are not the word of God. So, I mean, it's cool that you find value in these books that someone else says are not the word of God. But, like, that's your personal belief in regard to these books. And there's all sorts of stuff that was cut out. There's all sorts of stuff that contradicts that was cut out. And then there's entirely different religious texts. I don't see what the significance is of you finding something there interesting, right?
Well, what I find interesting about the story is that he bases his conclusions on science.
Wait, so is there really a dragon in the story?
Yes, a Komodo dragon.
Oh. Well, that's not as cool as a dragon.
I just don't.
I hate Komodo dragons.
I don't get the point.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call tonight, Craig.
I wish it was about a real dragon, because that was actually really interesting to me. I was, like, taking mental note. But I'll still look it up. But if it's a Komodo dragon, that's just not as cool. And aren't those only in Indonesia?
Yeah, and New Zealand,
yeah,
right?
It doesn't really make sense at all.
I don't know how they would have. I don't know, man. I haven't read them. The Apocrypha, that is the quote, lost, that's the Dead Sea Scrolls. Is that right?
Those are part of it. I think there's more than just them.
So this new ancient tablet was found, and I only find it interesting because it says that people are cursed or whatever. An early Hebrew inscription from Mount Ebal near Nablus, none of that means anything to me, was found on a folded lead tablet during an excavation of the 1980s. It recently underwent X-ray tomographic measurements, which revealed hidden text. So they just found this tablet back in the 1980s, and more recently they put some sort of X-ray on it, and they're like, oh, there's hidden text here. Whatever this means, epigraphic analysis of the data revealed a formulaic curse written in a proto-alphabetic script likely dating to late Bronze Age that predates any previously known Hebrew inscription in Israel by at least 200 years, and it doesn't. How terrible is it? It doesn't tell us what year, then, this thing would have been dated to. 3,000-year-old is what they tell us. So this tablet is about 3,000 years old.
And where was this found again?
Some mountain in somewhere in the Middle East.
Hmm.
Mount Ebal near Nablus. Like,
that means nothing to me.
The finding has just been published in the Journal of blah, 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 and then they name a bunch of people and a bunch of universities, none of which we care about. The inscription, though, reads, you are cursed by the god YHW, because there's some dispute here about whether or not it was Yahweh or whatever.
Yeah, that's like the original way that they would spell what they call Yahweh now.
Right.
It's like the word that can't be spoken.
All of the people that I know that are like super into, I don't know what sect of Christianity it is that are like so into Yahweh, but they always spelled it that way.
YHW?
Yeah.
Not with the H at the end?
Oh, maybe with an H at the end.
See, that was what I was getting at, because that...
I just remembered there were no vowels.
We know it as YHWH, but this one drops that. And there's some dispute about whether or not the second H is even supposed to be there. It's unclear, apparently. I don't
Interesting.
Know.
Interesting, I didn't know that.
But this one is just YHW, which it's a very weird-looking thing, and I would never have... Why did they keep this, right? When I'm looking at pictures, I'm like, it's a rock, man. It's completely nondescript and dull, and it's just a rock. But they were like, this is not just a rock, and they kept it, and eventually they x-rayed it, and they discovered this text that says, again, you are cursed by the God Yahweh, which is interesting that they
And that's it? That's all it says?
Yeah.
So what is it? This is like a mean letter somebody's writing to somebody?
I guess so. In December of 2019, an expedition on Mount Ebal to wet sift the discarded material from excavations led by some dude, blah, 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 yielded a small folded lead tablet. The east dump pile from which the object emerged contained...
How is it folded and lead?
I don't know. I don't know what any of these things mean.
It's crazy.
I mean, if it's a rock, so when they say it's lead, I don't know what they mean, right? I honestly don't know. And it's... It shows pictures, but I'm not a geologist or one of these people who cannot do anything
with this. And obviously
there
was something about this rock that they could tell was, like, different from the rocks around it or, like, cut into a certain way that they would know.
Well, it looks different. It looks like a piece of paper from my angle over here.
How'd it get folded if it's rock? It's so weird.
I don't know. But the tablet could not be opened without damaging it, so it was actually folded. It was a stone tablet that they had folded over, I guess. And they could not open it without damaging it. That's interesting.
Huh.
But now the Israeli-European team of scientists performed X-ray tomographic measurements.
Do you think because they opened it, it cursed them?
Oh,
so
I didn't think about that.
So it was saying to whoever opened it. Yeah, I didn't think about it either. I thought what Nikki was saying, like, that someone sent someone else a letter and said, you're cursed by Yahweh. But now I think whoever opened it got cursed.
Well, they did not open it.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
They
point.
Used X-rays to read it.
That's a
cheat. Haha, science.
Haha, God.
But I don't know. In the language of curses, does that count as open? I mean, you read the text, right? You exposed it.
It depends. I mean, how specific Yahweh wants to get, or whoever is placing the curse in behalf of Yahweh.
Well, they did not open it, but they did read it with X-rays, and it was hidden text in this folded lead tablet. The biblical tradition. Joshua 8:30 notes that Joshua, where the hell is it? Okay, there's a reason it gets into this. Notes that Joshua, the leader of the Israelites who was appointed to take over from Moses, built an altar on Mount Ebal as part of a ceremony to renew the covenant soon after they returned from Egypt to Canaan. So evidently this mountain has biblical significance. This is where one of the leaders of the Israelites built an altar. Thus, the research team said, it is possible that Zertal's findings relate to this verse, that the folded-up tablet has something to do with Daniel's tablet. Like, presumably, they built this altar, and I like Bonnie's idea here that this was a curse, right? He built this altar, and then, like, at the bottom of it, he put this thing, like, someone's going to break this one day, and when
open
they do, they'll
it.
Be cursed. Like, they're going to tear down this altar, they're going to find this stone, they're going to open it up, and that's going to unleash a curse.
It makes sense from, like, Joshua's view of what God was, because Joshua is the one that marched around the city, I don't remember which city, for 7 rounds marching around it, and then the walls fell down and they went and raped and killed people. Jericho.
I had to think about what city.
Yeah, I wanted to say Nineveh, but that's Jonah.
Yeah, Joshua was a warlord, wasn't
yeah,
he?
They went and killed people.
In Deuteronomy, Moses tells the nations that when they finally enter the land of Israel, they should recite blessings at the flowering Mount Gerizim. And curses at the opposite mountain, the barren Mount Ebal. So,
okay.
So there are two mountains. One of them they should recite blessings, and the other one they should recite curses. And
as in the Bible in
yeah,
Daniel?
Apparently.
That makes a lot of sense. It must be connected.
That's in Deuteronomy 11:26 and 29. I've never read that, but, I mean, clearly my family read it to me when I was a kid, but I don't remember that.
Deuteronomy is like the one that has so much, like, you may not do this.
Yes,
and
it's
so,
just a bunch of Israelite law.
Yeah, and a bunch of, like, laws and names, right? I don't know if it's names, but it's boring. I've never read it either.
It's super weird, right? Some of the stuff they outlawed in Deuteronomy was so weird. Like, and that was the one that contained, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Mm-hmm. That's where the Bible verse about homosexuality is, or thou shalt not lie with a man as one does a woman.
Where polyester.
Polyester, absolutely. Like almost all excavations, Zertal left behind piles of excavated soil after examining it after the first season in 1982, which he devoted to removing a mantle of stones that purposely covered, and this is just droning on, and it's not actually very interesting anymore. I don't know why they carried on the article after that. The interesting part has been said. They found this tablet, and I choose to believe that they unleashed an ancient curse.
We'll see.
But maybe they found a loophole by x-raying it rather than actually opening it. But also coming up on tonight's show, a Florida pronoun ban. But Bonnie, you had a story about the Chevron Doctrine. And this is a topic that interests me a lot because this was a focus of my case with the federal government when they were charging me with operating an unlicensed money transmitting business. My attorney and I filed to have the case dismissed because of recent Supreme Court rulings where the EPA versus someone, where the Supreme Court has said, look, Congress did not, like in two sentences, give the EPA the authority to completely regulate and control this entirely new industry that didn't even exist then. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way that this regulation, that this authorization exists. The Chevron deference is the opposite of that, where it's like if the government does not say you cannot do something, then the regulatory body can do it. Like if the EPA is not told that they cannot do something, then they can do it. Whereas the more modern way of looking at things with this new Supreme Court is if the government has not specifically said you can do it, then you can't.
And but the problem is Chevron hasn't completely been overturned. It's not like people can't use that as, it's not like the agencies suddenly aren't allowed to make up rules. They're still allowed to make up rules, but this EPA one kind of weakened it.
It did. And something is going to have to be fought to the Supreme Court to find out exactly how much precedent the EPA ruling is supposed to have set and whether or not the Chevron deference has just been completely thrown out. And I suspect, based on what I'm seeing, it's going to be Ian Freeman's appeal regarding cryptocurrency and the Treasury or FinCEN. FinCEN is the one that has the regulatory framework. Because we argued,
I hope it's before then. But
I would hope so. We argued that by authorizing FinCEN to blah, 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 the U.S. government did not give them the authority to regulate cryptocurrency.
Because the laws, you understand this, you probably understand this, but the listener might not understand. The laws that Ian and the CryptoSix and Aria were charged with are about money transmission, and they were written during the Patriot Act times, which is like 2001. What is that, 8 years before cryptocurrency was even invented? So there's no possible way that those laws have anything to do with cryptocurrency, and yet the judge allowed it because he didn't want to make a...
He said applying the EPA ruling in this way would be a novel ruling, was the word he kept using over and over again. He didn't want to make a precedent, basically. And most judges at that level don't, right? That's what the appeal courts sort out and stuff.
It seems kind of frustrating, but it's not like Judge LaPlante did anything wrong or unusual. But
right, he did his job.
Yeah. So basically they said cryptocurrency, he could see it being used. The word is used in the law that they supposedly broke is funds. And the judge said, I can see cryptocurrency being funds, and therefore I'm not going to make this ruling in favor of Aria. And because of that, Aria decided to take a plea deal because it's like that was going to be the reason that she thought she could win.
Right.
Yeah.
That's an excellent summary. I was convinced that I was going to beat that charge, and the other ones I wasn't overly worried about. Like the money laundering charge, not worried about it. The wire fraud charge, not worried about it. but the operating unlicensed mining transmitting business, like, that was the one where I was like, if they're going to convict me on something, it's going to be that one. And so once we lost that, I was like, well, that's it. They've made their decision. They've defined money transmission in this way. And it doesn't matter that the way everyone understands money transmission is that it requires a third party. Like, you giving me $100 to go to your grandmother in, you know, Arkansas and give her $100, that's money transmission. That's transmitting money from one person to another, right? That's what you use. Western Union is money transmission. Walmart to Walmart, whatever they call it, is money transmission. All of those sorts of things are money transmission. But it was our understanding, it was my understanding at least, that Bitcoin, selling Bitcoin to someone was not money transmission because there is no third party. But anyway, I lost that. We lost that ruling, and I assume Ian is going to appeal it. I don't know. I haven't actually. I don't even know where appeals and stuff like that get filed. But it's not on his current. It's not right there in the current case under recap. So I don't know where all of that goes in the judicial system.
He can't appeal until after sentencing.
Really?
Yeah, because if the judge said, like, I'm just going to give you time served, lots of people would choose not to appeal. Like, oh, okay, that's fine. I'm not going to appeal.
I guess that makes sense.
I did not know that. But that's what your story is on. And that's all the background about why I care about the Chevron deference and the EPA ruling and all of that. So
it's a really important thing for just like lots of people. It's interesting to us because it directly relates to the Crypto 6 case. But basically, this from The Hill from May 1st. Supreme Court to consider overruling Chevron doctrine. Just overruling it, which would be great.
Yeah, that would be excellent news.
The Supreme Court on Monday announced it will hear a case that could significantly scale back federal agencies' authority, with major implications for the future of environmental and other regulations. The justices' next term will consider whether to overturn a decades-old precedent that grants agencies deference when Congress left ambiguity in a statute. Named for the court's decision in Chevron USA versus Natural Resources Defense Council, the Chevron deference has become one of the most frequently cited precedents in administrative law since the decision was first handed down in 1984.
And it's easy to understand why. What it basically says is anytime there's ambiguity, the government has the authority to do it. That's basically what the Chevron...
The SEC, whatever little unelected agency bureaucrat gets to decide what the law means.
603-283-6160. There's more coming up here. It is Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.